Let's kick off, Juan Felipe. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do?
Sure. First, thank you for inviting us to this nice talk to you. So let me first tell you that Q-Systems, this year we are, it's our 20th year, you know, around the world. So Q-Systems, let me tell you how it born, you know?
Yeah.
Our creators used to have a tour operator back in the 80s in Argentina. They were one of the fifth most important tour operators there. Then in the 90s, he created an airline. So as you can see, we are people from the industry that we decided to work to the industry. During the operation of the airline, he starts seeing that the costs of the distribution and the PSS was too high, so he decided to start his own PSS.
Okay.
Then on 2003, he launched Q Systems. The main difference around the system against our competitors that are new generation systems is that we are a hybrid multi-host system, meaning that it's that we have all the offer that the airline has at the same place, so we can build around a GDS.
Okay.
So with a better cost, with everything, it's much cheaper and better for the airlines. Just for you to have like some key numbers on your head, we are operating in more than 35 countries. We have more than 78 airlines on those who are already implemented and on those who are already signed. We operate, we have more than 35,000 travel agencies, and we have more than 220,100 travel agents.
Wow. Okay, that's quite a lot. And is the focus mostly on Latin America and Caribbean, or is it worldwide?
Well, right now we are worldwide. We have a couple of airlines who are transoceanic airlines that are based in Spain. We have a lot of presence in Africa, but yeah, we are really, really stronger in South America as well. And right now we are just expanding our operation.
So the kind of technology that you offer to airlines, it's relevant for small airlines and larger airlines, or?
That's a really important key point, because when our founders start thinking on the idea of how to build a system, he realized that in the future it's gonna be real hard for the airlines to be a purely legacy airline or purely low cost. Even though for the regional or transoceanic companies, we can manage all those kind of companies. We have, for instance, we used to have five transoceanic companies who was made in operations between America and Europe. We have regional airlines, we have low cost airlines, we also have legacy airlines. So we are in the whole spectrum of the business.
Okay. So I'm starting a new airline, and I'm thinking, okay, I know where I want to fly to, I know what kind of planes I want to get. I have to think about how I'm going to, what PSS, what reservation system I will use, how will I sell my tickets? What should I be thinking about?
Okay, I've been dealing with that particular issue in all the jobs that I used to have. The most important thing is to have a solution that allows you to have as many distribution channels as you can, and to have that those distribution channels are cost efficient, because otherwise, for instance, when our founder used to have the airline, when he distributed between on the traditional GDSs, that cost around 12% to 14% of the cost of the ticket. So that doesn't make sense, because you know that the airlines are, as I told to everyone, are cents business.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You are making cents out of the 100 that you charge for a ticket.
So when we talk about distribution channels, that might be the airline website, or that might be travel agents, or that might be the GDS like Amadeus or Sabre or somebody.
So yeah, for us, as I told you, it's really, really important to offer as many distribution channels as possible. So with our system, you can connect to the traditional GDSs. Actually, we are. You can do interline. You can do virtual interline. You have our own GDS with a big network that I already told you. You have the e-commerce. You can also sell at the airport, on your sales office, call center.
Okay.
And right now, there is a key point that I want to mention is that we are the first PSS fully connected to the NF ticket. That's a new concept that there is around that it's going to be like the ticket 3.0, that it's based on the blockchain technology. For those who do not know what's blockchain technology, it's the thing that has been around the last maybe 5 years that allows you to have a lot of security and to empower the passenger to transfer tickets. If you want, there is a story that we always tell. For instance, if you have a Ferrari, you buy a Ferrari, you know, then you call to Ferrari and they told you, okay, you can, and they put the Ferrari in front of your house. And then you go out with your wife, you see the Ferrari and your wife tell you, no, I don't like the color. So you just call back to Ferrari and they come and get the Ferrari out.
Okay.
You know, but that doesn't happen with the ticket. If you buy, for instance, one ticket and you are not going to be able to travel, you will need to call the call center or to start seeing what you are going to do with the ticket. With this particular technology that we have already implemented, you are going to be able to transfer, to resell it, or whatever, and then the airline's going to see a new income due to a new ancillary for reselling those tickets.
Okay.
So that's going to be a really, really important thing for the passengers because you are avoiding those frictions on the travel.
And that's the product that I think has been launched by Flybondi in Argentina.
Yeah. And we have a main partner here that I want to mention them because they are a key part of this plane that we are playing.
Yep,
and it's
yep.
TravelX. You know, we are partnering. They are also from Argentina, and we have fully connected TravelX with our system, and so we can offer the NF tickets.
So I know that the NF tickets, it's an option. You don't have to use the NF tickets.
Yeah, you don't have.
But it's a really interesting idea, and it's quite revolutionary for how airlines sell tickets.
Yeah, I mean, you have been listening in the last few years on the industry about the NDC, the one order.
Yeah, yeah.
What it makes is to really create a protocol that can be used by anyone, no matter the PSS that you have. In our case, we are fully integrated. So if you want to use it, you can use it. If you don't, you don't need to use it. But it's just a new distribution channel. But because just picture this. You are going to travel with five friends, you know, and you buy the tickets and it costs you $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then 1 week before the flight, two of your friends told you, no, I can't go because my wife won't let me go.
Because she doesn't like the color of my Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So you are gonna have an issue because you will lose your money.
Sure.
So
sure.
With the NF ticket that we already have, you can put it on Amazon, on Mercado Libre, on eBay, wherever you want. You can sell it and you will get a new revenue. And even you as a passenger can get some money because you resell it with a higher price.
That's a really, really interesting model. But I mean, it will also mean a change of mindset for the airlines.
Sure.
Because today, maybe the airline will sell me a cheap ticket that I'm not allowed to change. Or maybe they'll sell me a more expensive flexible ticket.
Yeah, because the NF ticket is going to be a smart contract. You can actually you can put those rules in place. So meaning that you are not going to destroy your revenue management. You know?
Yes, I can imagine for a revenue manager in an airline, this is a big challenge.
Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting to hear that you support that functionality. So airlines don't have to use that, but they have that option for the future.
Yeah, and as I told you, I mean, we are always thinking as an airline because we more than a provider, we want to be a partner, you know, because,
yeah.
And actually I think that's one of the most important things that our customers like about us. And it's that, for instance, during the COVID, we do not have minimum fees that you need to pay. So if they move one passenger, they pay for one passenger. If they move 10 million passengers, they pay for 10 million passengers. So, and that was really, really like it during the COVID because if they go well, we go well.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. And I know that the PSS, the reservation system, is a really fundamental part of the airline. So is it possible for airlines to change their PSS if they think they're too limited with their existing supplier, or is it like open heart surgery?
Okay, so I come from the IT teams. So if you ask to another person, they will tell you that it's an open heart surgery. But for me, honestly, on technology, everything can be done easily.
Okay.
Because that's why we have technology, you know? The thing with the changes is that people, by our nature, we are resistant to changes. So it's not a technical issue, it's more a people ish, you know?
Sure.
But I mean, we actually 60% of our customers were migrated from other PSSs.
Okay.
So we know how to do it. We know how to be with our customers during those period of changes. We help them to build the new knowledge on their culture, on the new PSS, and yeah. So it's going to cost you on the people, not on the technology.
Okay, so if an airline comes to you and says, we're not happy with the limits of our current PSS, there is hope. It is possible for them to change.
There is more than hope. Okay. The one we can show you a couple of success stories, you know.
Okay, and you mentioned this ticket, this NF ticket, and that sounds like a really good example of innovation. What other kinds of innovation are you seeing in this space?
Okay, there is a bunch. For instance, the thing that we have done with the GDS, it's an innovation because instead of incentivizing the agencies, we work with the airline. And if you want to have our GDS as a tour operator or as an agency, you can download it. We won't charge you, and you can start selling. Saying that, for instance, we have a couple of examples in Florida that there is some like hairstylist that sells tickets.
Okay.
You know?
Yep.
So that's innovation. We deliver. I like this example. You know, Uber is the biggest taxi company that doesn't have taxis.
Yes.
We are going to be the largest GDS without, because we accept IATA and non-IATA travel agencies. So we are hoping to have the biggest travel agencies network around the world, even though if they are not on the IATA, you know, institution.
Yeah, so you're really building a platform for everyone, lots of selling agents.
Yeah, and some other examples is that, for instance, if you have ever seen a cryptic terminal on a travel agency, you need to know what you are doing, otherwise you won't be able to do anything. So we also realized that was a problem. So you have also a graphic interface for the travel agents that works really good. That's another innovation that we already have in place. We are doing I think that we were the first PSS that moved completely to cloud.
Okay.
We are fully cloud since 5 years ago. We're right, the path that everyone is traveling right now, we already move it, you know? So yeah, and because, you know, I think that the South American people are resilient because of our political reality.
Yep.
And that make us, and that force us to become innovative, you know?
Yeah, okay. And back to something you were saying a few minutes ago, Felipe, you were talking about interlining, and interlining is obviously when an airline is selling a ticket for a connection onto another airline. And you also mentioned virtual interline. And I guess it's not quite self-connecting, but it's a way of putting tickets together. Is that right?
Okay. So we are fully connected with the most important key players doing virtual interlining. And that allows the companies to do an interline without all the procedures and the paperwork that you need to do when you are doing a traditional interline. We for instance, because I want to keep you in mind that we are trying to always to be ahead, even though we are not really really well known all around the world. But for instance, our founder, when he used to have the company, sorry, one second. Give me 1 second. Because just let me tell you that my wife is having a baby maybe today or tomorrow. Ooh. So maybe that was
okay,
the
call. Okay, if you need to take the phone call, it's okay. We can have a coffee break.
It wasn't my wife, but if it were my wife, I will let you know.
Okay. Yes. No. It's okay. If you have to run, that's perfectly okay.
Thank you very much.
As long as she's calling about the baby, not about the color of your Ferrari.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Hopefully, we will have a Ferrari before this call. Where were we? Sorry.
Sorry, we were talking about interlining, and I know that interlining is very complex.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all kinds of procedures.
Sorry. Yeah. I want you to keep in your mind that we are really, really innovative, and we are trying to go ahead everyone else. When our co-founder used to have the airline, he was the 7th customer of Hanair, for instance. That means that we have the capability to see, or at least sometimes we miss it, but sometimes we target it. We try to see where the industry is going, you know, and that's where we try to be. So with the virtual interline, we are fully connected with a lot of the most important key players. There's a lot of customers that are around on doing virtual interlining. We do also support traditional interlining, bilateral, you know.
Sure. So that means that if I am a legacy carrier or a network carrier, and I already have lots of interline agreements with other airlines, you can sell that. But if I'm a low-cost carrier and I don't have any of those agreements, then these third-party virtual interline suppliers can stick
sure.
the two tickets together.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we have, we are fully connected with DoHop, for instance, yeah. And we also just finished doing a traditional interline with Etihad a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
So we are able to do both.
So you're really working with some of the big players as well.
Yeah.
And how do you see this business developing over the next few years?
That's a tricky question. I think that so you have the biggest players. You have Amadeus. You have Sabre, and they process around 70% of the traffic around the world. Then you have the new generation systems, and we think that in the next couple of years there's just going to be around 3 or 4 new generation systems alive. We are sure that we will be one of them, because we have a key difference on the architecture, how we build the system. Because the new generation systems that does not allow you to have like traditional distribution, yeah, yeah. And we have our own distribution that it's really cheap, and we are also we can like talk directly to the traditional distributions. So we also have the good things about the new generation systems. So. Yeah, I think that in the next couple of years, you will see a lot of movement. We are in, when COVID finished, that changed a lot the way this particular industry moves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have another important key point here. When we started the company, we were entering 2.5 airlines per year. When COVID finished, we start moving to our system 13 companies per year. And that's because people realize that cost is a key part of the success of an airline, and also the distribution.
And you've mentioned distribution, and that it occurs to me, you're talking about how you're building a distribution network. So we think of PSS as reservation systems as being relevant only for airlines, but it sounds from what you're describing as though if I'm a tourist authority, or if I'm an airport, or I'm somebody else, I could actually use your system to sell tickets via my website or via my offices.
Yeah, it's really, really easy, because, you know, we do not charge you if you want to start selling tickets. So you just need to go to our portal. You just need to sign up to the portal. You download an application, and that's it. You can start selling the tickets that we have in our network for those airlines who are connected to our network. So yeah, and we think that, because, you know, I was not alive because I'm quite young yet, but on the 80s, people who travel on an airplane were people who have money.
Yeah.
And you see the people in Panam that goes with the suits, and it was like a luxury thing. Right now, it's not the case. I mean, right now, you go to Colombia and you will see people going on airplanes with flip-flops. And you will see the one who goes with the suit, but you also have the one who goes with the T-shirt and with a shirt. So yeah, I mean, it's quite different on how the industry were built and where it moved to.
Sure. So this is using technology to make it much easier for more people to travel.
Completely.
No, that makes a lot of sense. We're just coming to the end of our session. Are there any questions from the audience? Is there anything that you would like to ask? Because I think that technology is a very important topic, and I know that Juan Felipe will be happy to answer any questions either now or subsequently, subject to you not having to run away impending family. But I think, I guess what I take from what you're saying, Juan Felipe, is that there's a lot of new ways of distributing air tickets, and especially with cloud technology and so on, it becomes much easier. And airlines and indeed other travel suppliers and other tourism agencies and so on can actually use this to help sell their tickets.
Yeah.
That sounds tremendous, and I'm very grateful to you for sharing your expertise with us this morning. So I wish Q-Systems every success, and I'm sure you'll be happy to talk to anybody else who has any questions.
But sure.
Thank you very much indeed, and let's thank Juan Felipe.